Please be seated. Let us all say amen. Amen. I don't know about you. I live in a real world. And sometimes in this real world that I live in, I have some trouble. And sometimes Sister Harmon don't understand the trouble that I might be in. And so sometimes I have to mourn sometimes. Sometimes I have to cry. And I lay awake at night. But you know what? I know who will fix it after a while. It's good to see everybody this morning. I really hope and pray that all is well with you. Want to once again welcome those of you that are visiting this morning. We hope and pray something can be said from the Word of God that will cause you to think about your soul salvation. If you're here this morning, it is no accident. I am a firm believer that God does not deal in accidents. You're here this morning because someone wants you to hear what thus saith the Lord. It's my job, it's my responsibility to give you what thus saith the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 and round about verse number 11, Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplied, that in all things God might be glorified. So my job, my responsibility is to glorify the God of heaven and to remind those of us who have obeyed from the heart, Romans chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to remind us and to encourage us, stay busy working out your soul salvation. And I want to encourage those of you that are visiting that may not know that Jesus came but for one purpose, and that was to reconcile man back to his Father. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he turned to his disciples and said, but who do you say that I am? And I like Peter because he reminds me of me. Cut your ear off at the drop of a hat. Was always ready. But Peter turns and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're an it. You're an it. And he's not talking about these four walls. He's talking about ecclesia, the called out believers, those of us who have obeyed from the heart. Church, Satan has no say-so over us unless we fall into sin. And so this morning, I just want to encourage your heart, those of you that are visiting and those of you that may not know who Jesus Christ is, you've come this morning and I have something for you. And I want to encourage you that if you're having trials and tribulations in your life, come to Jesus. I've tried everything else, and it just does not work. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus says, you shall find rest to your soul. Church, I don't know about you. It's good to be part of the body of Christ. And you know why it's so good? I have the right to eternal salvation if I remain steadfast and unmovable in my Christian walk. For the past 11 months, we've been dealing with this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 20 and 21, where Paul writes these words to the believer, reminding the believer that God has called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. And he's given us this for one purpose. And that's to go out here and seek and save those people that are on the outside of the ark of safety. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And guess what? Because you and I have obeyed from the heart the gospel, he has commissioned you and I to do that very thing. That's why he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us. I've been reconciled. I have a testimony. And that testimony is that if you do things God's way, God will put a hedge around you where Satan cannot touch you. And I know that's something that most people don't believe in. Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, the Bible says when the Son of Man came to present themselves unto the Lord, guess who was with them? Satan. And why was he in the midst of God's people? Because he knows God's people are going to try to hold to God's unchanging hand. And God asked Satan, what you doing with them? You ever had the devil on your shoulder? And you know why he's on your shoulder? Because he wants to move you from where you're at in your Christian walk. And I want to encourage us this morning, as we look at this text, to be reminded of who we are and what God requires of each and every one of us. In verse number 20 of our lesson text, the Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors. And like I've been saying for the past 11 months, an ambassador understands his calling. And in the process of understanding his calling, he understands that God has petitioned him, has commissioned him to do the will of his Father. And I want to encourage us this morning. We're going to be out of this text in next month. But I hope and pray you've learned something, because every time I open up this book and look at this text, I learn something about it. You know what I've learned this time? I learned that an ambassador of Christ may waver, but he never strays. And I'm going to show you this morning that as children of God, we ought to never, ever stray from who we say we are. But see, I'm learning that requires something of us. First and foremost, what it requires is total surrender. And I know that's something that most people do not want to do. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. I think I'm a pretty good guy, Henry. I don't know about you. But if I'm going to follow Jesus, I got to deny myself. And then Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose his life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? In this text here, the Apostle Paul, as he writes these words to the believer, he first and foremost reminds them, because you have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, now then you are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And as ambassadors, we got a responsibility. Church, that's why when the first day of the week roll around, nothing else is important to me but assembling around this table and confessing that he is the Lord of my life. And not only do I do it on the first day of the week, every day of my life, I confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and I try my very best. I might waver, but I'll never stray, because I'm like Peter. Peter said in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 17, you have the words of eternal life, and we are sure and persuaded that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And I want to encourage us this morning, as ambassadors of Christ, it is time to get busy. Amen, amen, walls. Y'all don't have to say amen. I'll talk to the wall over here. Church, somewhere down the line, as believers, we make the difference. Do we? Do we make the difference? Look at the world we live in. The world has no direction. Never ought to be in the body of Christ. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you are ready to die? Well, put them hands back up there. See, because that's the key, church, is being able to understand that the physical man cannot inherit the kingdom, but we're going to have to be transformed. In this text here, Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And church, and I'm learning, reconciled people are a demonstration to the world out there. That's right. When I go out into the world, folk ought to know who I am. Should know who you are. They should know that we are children of the Most High God. Why? How do they know us? By our mindset, by our attitude. And when you even slap us on one cheek, we'll give you the, we will. We'll give them the other cheek. Church, the world needs some changing. But I'm learning it's got to begin first and foremost with you and I. He says we are ambassadors of Christ. And that verse 20 says, the latter part of that says, be ye reconciled to God. And I like verse 21. Because verse 21 has some true meaning to me. Maybe not to you. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Church, do we have a responsibility to live up to? Yes, we do. The world out there needs you and I. But I'm learning in order for us to go out and seek and save that loss, there's got to be some changes in our own lifestyle. And I'm learning, first and foremost, it starts at my house. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs chapter 22. Not only if you train the child in the way he should go, it's important that you and I, as brothers and sisters, lay hold on these young folk. We ain't got but two up, three, four, five. Boy, that makes me feel good. Because I cut all, well, I didn't cut it off this week. I left it up here. But somewhere down the line, church, you and I have to take hold of our young folks. If the church is going to survive, it needs you and I to step up to the plate. In this text here, Paul talks about God made him the right, he's made us the righteousness of God. And church, I don't know about you, that's something that you ought to really stop and think about. That the God of heaven call you righteous. Let that soak in. In this text, I want to show you real quickly that as ambassadors of Christ, we may waver, but we never stray. We might sin. Matter of fact, all have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Chapter 6, verse 23. All of us may fall short of the glory of God, but guess what? Because we have a covenant relationship to God, we can repent of our sins and we are restored back to where God would have us to be. And church, and I'm learning that the more you understand who you are on this time side of life, the more God will work through you in your everyday life. Philippians chapter 2 and round about verse number 12, Paul says, work out your own soul salvation. How? And fear and trembling. Paul says in verse number 13, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then Paul says, do all things without murmuring. I asked a question this morning in Bible class. You got any murmurers up in here? Anybody? We got any murmurers? Oh, y'all can be honest with me. Because I know from time to time, if I don't stay rooted and grounded in the word, I will murmur just like everybody else. See, as ambassadors, we may waver, but we never stray. And the reason we will never stray is because we understand what we're doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 24. Paul in this lesson text talks about running a race. And you know, and I used to run track. And I know that I wanted to always be first, but sometimes I was last. But in the race that we have as being Christians, each and every one of us can be first. Amen. You know, why? Because the race we're running is not a physical race. It's a race to make heaven our home. Paul says, know you not that all that run in a race run, but one received the prize. And so Paul says, run, not with uncertainty. Why be in the body of Christ 20, 30 years and don't make heaven your home? That don't make no sense to me. Yeah. Why be in something if you're not going to give it your all? Huh? Yeah. Oh, come on, y'all, work with me. So why come when you feel like it? Amen. What? It's a mindset. It's an attitude that I'm learning as a child of God. I want to encourage our hearts this morning. In order for us not to stray from the word of God, it requires something of you daily. First and foremost, it requires you to get out of the way. And once you get out of the way, it requires you to bathe yourself with the proper mindset. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and have given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I'm learning that one day you're going to bow to somebody. And I don't know about you, I'd rather bow to God, because I have an adversary that is always trying to get me to bow to him. I want to encourage us. It requires a regular diet of the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. It requires you not only to study the Word of God, it requires you to meditate on it. I don't know about you. Boy, I can sit down in front of that one-eyed monster with a... See me later. I can sit down in front of that one-eyed monster with a Dr. Pepper, and you know what? I can zone out. Shouldn't I be able to do that with the Word of God? I'm learning, if you want to really stay on track on this time side of life, if you really want to do what God said, it requires a regular diet of the Word. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, the Bible says, he meditates day and night. And I'm learning that the more I stay in the Word of God, the better husband I become. Amen. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, yes. I don't know about you. I get excited about who I am because I'm learning, church, that in God's Word, he's given me everything I need to be successful for him. And guess what? And if I'm successful for him, you don't think I'll be successful on this time side of life? Yes, I will be. I want to encourage us. The psalmist said he's planted by the tree. Let me back up. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. I'm learning, church, the more I bathe myself with the Word of God, the more strength I get from God, and the more I help, it helps me to stay on the right track. I'm a firm believer that as ambassadors of Christ, you might waver from time to time. Amen. Why? Because we're flesh and blood. But the child of God should never, ever stray from what he has obeyed. And you know, there's many examples in the Bible that help us to stay on the right track. See, I'm learning that in order for me to really stay on the right track, I got to understand who I am. That's right. I understand who I am. I am a child of the Most High God. Amen. The God of heaven sent the very best of heaven for me. Man, that excites me. That motivates me. So when it's time for kingdom business, no other business is more important to me than the kingdom business. Why? Because I know what transpired on that on that cross. Jesus died on the cross to reconcile man back to his Father. And you know, the sad part about it is, as Christians, sometimes we try to supersede who we really are. Church, God has saved us for one purpose. That's the world out there. And I'm learning that when we get it right in here, you ain't got to worry about it. We'll get it right out there. I want to encourage us as ambassadors of Christ. Waver, but never stray from the truth. And the way you do that is your life must be an example. I'm learning. I'm learning that my children, my grandchildren, and everyone I come in contact with will follow me if I follow Jesus Christ. That's why Joshua would say, Joshua chapter 24 and round about verse number 14 and 15, Joshua said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, make a decision. And I'm a firm believer. My kids will tell you, I'll tell you in a minute, make a decision. If you make the wrong decision, well, we'll figure out how to make it the right decision. But I'm learning in our lives, we all make decisions. That's right. Some this morning have made a decision, you're going to follow the Lord. And some have made a decision, well, I don't know which way to follow. Well, that's why I'm here this morning, to help you to make a decision on the way you ought to follow. I've tried everything else, but no one has treated me like my Jesus. He's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's given me an assurance that if I remain faithful till I die, he'll give me a crown that fadeth not away. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. That's the guarantee that I have, and that's the guarantee that I use in my everyday life. So when my hair fall out and my wife no longer wants me, my teeth are gone and my kids don't want to be bothering me, I know I got a God that says, come unto me, and I'll take care of everything else. And somewhere down the line, church, I'm learning that when you understand who you are, man, life take on a whole new meaning. Church, I don't know about you. My life is beautiful. I got a million problems, but you know what? I got a Savior that handles every one of them. Oh, yes. All I do is cry out, Abba, Father. And the Bible says he hears me. Now, the question is, do he hear you? And I'm learning that if you want him to hear you, understand who you are. See, our life is an example to the world in which we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24, the Bible says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And I've always had a problem with that word, oppose themselves. And I've learned that that text is not written to the world. That text is written to you and I as members of the body of Christ. Is it possible that we can oppose ourselves in the church?
Yeah.
And so he says that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and they may escape themselves out of the snares of the devil who have taken captive by him at his will. Do you not know that Satan is out to get you? Huh? Look at your neighbor and say, he's out to get you. Oh, he already got you? No. No, he's out to get us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5, Peter says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's not looking for folk in the world. He got them. He's looking for you and I. But he cannot touch us as long as we remain steadfast and unmovable in our Christian walk. Yeah, we might waver, but we should never stray from what we believe in. And the way we never stray from what we believe in is by understanding what transpired on Calvary. God sent the very best for all of humanity. And because we're ambassadors for him, our job is to help reconcile humanity back to the Father. And how do we do that? Just like we do eat an elephant, one bite at a time. And so I want to encourage those of you that are here this morning, stop and think about your soul salvation. See, as Christians, our example shows the world who we are and what we believe in. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12, Paul says, be thou an example to the believer in word, in conversation, in charity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the laying on a hand of the eldership. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy lifestyle is evident to everybody we come in contact with. And then Paul says in verse number 16, brain just went dead. Y'all don't have that problem. Real quickly, I just had a memory block. Verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so, you shall save yourself and them that hear thee. So I want to encourage you this morning as God's people. Stop and think about your soul salvation. Stop and ask yourself a question. If he was to call you right now, what would he say? Would it be, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or would it be, depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. And so I want to encourage you as I close this lesson to stop and ask yourself a question. What God requires of me, and what do I need to do in order to be saved? You've heard God's word this morning, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20, verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe in, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says, repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell you nay, except you repent, you perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, we must be buried in water for the remission of our sin. It is in that watery grave that God does a spiritual operation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. See, an ambassador of Christ may waver, but he never strays. And I'm learning, in order for me not to stray, I must be steadfast, and I must be unmovable in my faith. And I'm learning, church, faith is something that'll carry us when nothing else on this time side of life will work. Amen. You can holler, you can scream, you can go to all the doctors in the world. I'm learning that if I have the proper faith, God takes care of everything else. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I do this because I'm expecting a reward at the end. Amen. I do this because I know one day He's going to dispatch from heaven those heavenly pallbearers. And he's going to take stand on to the other side. And I told my wife, don't you cry for me. You better worry about yourself. Because I'm going to go on to where God has promised me a crown that fadeth not away. And so therefore, I have confidence on this time side of life. I have boldness on this time side of life to know that the God of heaven has chosen me to be his ambassador. And guess what? I'm going to try my very best to live up to what he requires of me. So therefore, I'm steadfast. I'm unmovable in my faith to him. Why? Because I know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder. I don't know about you. I got a reward coming. Amen. And the reward you can't touch. that's what excites me, to know that I got a reward that I don't have to share with anybody. That's right. He says, I have a reward reserved in heaven for me. And so therefore, steadfast and unmovable in my faith is not a difficult thing. Not only am I steadfast and unmovable in my faith, guess what? I've learned to trust God. And in trusting God, guess what? World don't really bother me anymore. Oh, yeah. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I'm learning that when I trust God and I depend on God, I don't have to worry about that other fella. See, sometimes we get that other fella more credit than what he deserves. Romans chapter 8 and round about verse number 28. Paul says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, for them that are called according to his purpose. You drop down around about verse number 30. Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who can lay a charge against God's elect? Is it not God? Can't touch me. MC Hammer didn't get that from the Lord. He got it from Oh, yeah, he got that from God. Who is he that can harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the hope of the reason that is in you with meekness and godly fear. I don't know about you. I'm ready. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Why? Because it's in that gospel that I have salvation. And I'm so glad that God sent the very best for me. And so therefore, I become excited. I get motivated. And I'm learning that when I trust God and depend on God and follow the words that God has laid out in his book, I don't have to worry about sin. John chapter 8, round about verse number 31, 32. Jesus said to them Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I don't know about you. I'm a free individual. And you know what gives me the freedom? Is being in Christ Jesus. But I'm learning. Galatians chapter 5, use not your freedom as a cloak of covetousness. I'm free because God has made me free. And then Jesus said, if you're free, you're free indeed. Church, I don't know about you. I've never seen so many shackled folk in all the days of my life. And you know the sad part about it? Half of us sitting here might be shackled. Amen, Walls. Because when it's service, when it's time to do God's business, do you have to think about whether or not you want to come? This ain't going to cost you nothing. This ain't part of my lesson, but this ain't going to cost you nothing. When it's time to do his will, do you all of a sudden getting sick? Headaches come about and Maybe not y'all. Y'all looking at me funny, but see, I'm learning, church, that when you are on track with the Lord, nothing stops you. Nothing hesitates you. Why? Because you know you might waver, but you'll never stray. And in the process of trusting God, guess what? I'm ready. I've received the word of God with all readiness. Because, see, when I fall short of the glory of God, I don't need you to tell me. Why? Because his word tells me. The psalmist said, I've hid thy word in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. And I'm learning, church, the more you bathe yourself with the word of God and apply the principles in here, somewhere down the line, church, and I said it this morning in class, you reach plateaus in your Christian walk. I'm learning somewhere down the line, there's some things that ought to be first and foremost in our lives. When it's time to assemble on the first day of the week, that ought to be one thing that we have down pat. Amen. Amen. You go to work on time. And you're never late. You take off. How often do you take off? Not often. Why? Because you expect Caesar to give you something at the end of that week or them 2 weeks. Why would you take off from the Lord and expect in the day of judgment that you're going to get a reward better than what you deserve? That didn't cost you. I don't know how I got there, but that's okay. That's part of me showing you the way. But as I start to close, to receive the word of God with all readiness, it requires a mindset. 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the world, on the earth. I'm learning that the more I'm ready to receive the word of God, the less chance Satan has to mess with me. That's why the psalmist would say, Psalms 119 and round about verse number 97, he says, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation of my life. He says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. And then the psalmist said in Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp. Oh, yes, the child of God should never, ever walk in darkness. You know why? Because we have the light. And that light is the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only am I ready to receive the word with readiness, I'm confident about something. I know I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? Because he's promised me if I walk in the light as he is in the light, I have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses me from all my iniquities. That's right. If I confess my fault, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my faults. Is that some confidence? Is that some reassurance that the believer ought to have? Yes, it is. See, somewhere down the line, as believers, we ought to have confidence that we are who God say we are. And that confidence comes from the word. And the more you study, the more you meditate upon the word of God, the more you understand that God is in control. But I'm learning in order for me to really be assured of my salvation, there's something I have to do. Boy, I wish I could tell you, you could just sit there and look pretty and smile and you'd be all right. But I can't tell you that. You got to do something in order. And I'm learning this is what we need to do. And 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse number 5. Look at what Peter says. Well, I'm having that brain block again. Hold on, I'll be there in a minute. Yeah, what does it say? Help me out. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, brother. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. According to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. But by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, Paul, Peter says, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, It make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. He says, wherefore the rather, brother, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. I don't know about you. I have confidence that when life calls me, when Christ calls me from life to death, I have confidence the salvation will be mine. And not only am I assured of thy salvation, it's the yoke of Christ that shields me against everything on this time side of life. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and round about verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul reminds the believer, our strength, our encouragement comes when we bathe ourselves with the word of God. And he reminds us to be strong, and our strength comes from Jesus Christ and from the word. And the more we meditate, the more we pull on the word of God, the stronger we become on this time side of life, to where Satan has no control of us. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, Paul says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Church, we are ambassadors of Christ. Yes, we waver from time to time. Yes, we allow Satan to get the best of us. But the child of God should never, ever stray from the path that God has set before them. I hope I said something this morning to encourage your heart. As members of the body of Christ, I'm learning the more we surrender, the more we can stay on track. And I'm learning that this being humble and submissive in my Christian walk has really helped me to understand what God requires of me. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray I've said something that'll cause you to think about your soul salvation. I am in the soul business. My job is to help someone out of darkness to a marvelous life. And you're probably saying, well, I done messed up so bad. Paul said, and such were some of us. We've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been glorified. God saw fit to clean me up. Paul said, I was chief among sinners. And Paul, you're right, because I was his first mate. And if he can clean me up, I know good and well what God can do. I probably wouldn't do it to you. You know how we are. I probably, maybe, depends on if you meet my standards. I'm glad I don't have to meet anybody's standards but Jesus. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you the rest. Take my yoke. So what does that require? That requires me to surrender my will. And when you surrender, I'm learning. And that watery grave boy, when they told me that God would forgive me of all that dirt that I did. I got any dirty folk, ex-dirty folk in here? Hey, when they told me that he would forgive me of all of those sins, I told that brother, take me to the water. Why? Because I knew that watery grave, he would remember my sins no more. Hope I've said something to encourage your heart. If you're here this morning, you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.